Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now.
Well, it's time for another Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast, and this week we're joined by Kyle Alexander of Mach 1 Financial Group here in Northwest Arkansas. And our topic today, the glory days of retirement planning. I feel like I should have had some Bruce Springsteen queued up and ready to play, Kyle.
Well, maybe it's not too late, man. I don't know. I will say that before I answer your question, anybody who knows me knows that I like to tell stories, especially about my youth or whatever. I think it's a Southern thing. I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, I thought I'd give some background on a couple of experiences here in Northwest Arkansas. So I'll just start with a glory day memory about this area in the 1980s, and then we'll do one about the 1990s. So before I moved here for my career a decade ago or more, I visited Fayetteville in 1982 on a trip with my sister so she could explore the University of Arkansas and decide if it's a place, you know, she wanted to attend college. And I remember there was a fenced-off building on campus, a very prominent building, sitting empty. And they didn't have the money to restore it or whatever was going on there. And the campus, as a general rule, is, you know, looking a little bit aged and things of that nature. And then we went over to the football stadium, and it looked like some of the high school stadiums I had seen back on the East Coast. And I thought, wow, this is college? I don't know. And about that time, I would guess there were not a whole lot of students on campus. I'm just going to fathom it, probably about 8,000 kids at that time. So I was kind of just thinking, well, these are different campus experiences than I've had with my sister on her other college visits. But outside of that, I didn't care, right? Obviously, my sister cared, and she picked another school back east to go to. So, you know, that's a big transition. But good things have happened to the University of Arkansas since the early 80s. And we'll get to that part of the story in a minute. So just mark that in your mind. Let's talk a little bit about Bentonville. So when I actually came to the University of Arkansas for grad school in the mid-1990s, I drove up to Bentonville to the square to see, you know, what kind of things had changed since the last time I was there in the 1980s. And obviously there had been some change, but not a ton. There were still less than 10,000 people or so in Bentonville, and they rolled up the sidewalks at night after 8 p.m. Of course, now this city is just truly an amazing community. It tops over 45,000 people. It's one of the most vibrant old downtowns in Arkansas and probably in the nation. Culturally and from an entertainment perspective, there are just so many things going on all of the time. And the point of all of this, I would say, is that change can really be a good thing. And those glory days aren't always the best days, right? And so positive change requires a lot of work, right? If you're going to make those things that happen to you in life turn out for the better, it takes a good deal of effort. So now that I've made you listen to my stories, let's do discuss a few issues that might make retirement planning in today's world a little more challenging. So you want to start with pensions, Walter? Is that a good place to start, you
think? Well, I think it is, because fewer and fewer people have them. And that would definitely be a stark difference between, you know, retirement planning in the glory days versus today. Yeah. So, yeah, start there.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. You know, pensions, or what we call defined benefit plans, are totally different in terms of their scope and scale from even the early 1980s. I think we'll use that as a reference point. You know, today, people aren't as dependent on their employers for ongoing salary after retirement, because those types of benefits, those defined benefit plans, have largely been phased out, with the exception of a couple areas. We'll talk about that. And really, this is a case across the board on pensions in the United States and really the Western world, as labor unions lose some of their clout. In fact, there's an interesting statistic about labor unions, since really only about 21% of non-union employees have access to pensions today. Obviously, the number of union employees continue to fade, and you're going to see a pretty big problem with those defined benefit plans going forward. There just aren't as many of them. Not as many people are covered under those. And also on the state, federal, and local government level, for those government employees that are not covered under a union pension, that would be the next biggest group I would say, with a pension plan in place. And obviously, with the Trump administration, they're going to start, you know, probably cutting more government jobs, and that's going to impact the number of people that are covered under true defined pension plans in the future. So just to put this in perspective, in 1980, 38% of the American workforce had a pension. By 2008, that number had dropped to just 13% of the workforce as a percent of the entire eligible workforce in this country. And that number has continued to deteriorate since the 401k plan, or defined contribution plan, has become so popular, or really our new retirement crutch outside of Social Security. And one might ask, is this a problem? Well, that really kind of depends on you and your ability to manage your 401k and other self-directed retirement solutions. And of course, before I move on, I have to give a source for all these statistics, right? So these statistics come from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So now I'll transition to another thing that is of concern about the glory days and moving ahead, and that is longer life expectancies. And we've talked about this on the show before. And according to the CDC in 2014, life expectancy for males in the United States was around 76.4 years. And life expectancy for females was around 81 to 82 years old. And I read another statistic that I think is even more compelling. If you're 65 years or older right now, the chances that you're going to live over 90 is pretty doggone significant. So, I mean, obviously the trend is for longer lives, and that also puts a strain on how much money you have, you know, available to you to live on and to live comfortably. And then we talk about another concern, which is the sandwich generation issue. And I'm not talking about the generation that loves to go out for fast food, right? Or perhaps a generation of Jared that enjoyed Subway sandwiches. I don't know what that means.
Go off of my dad, you know, that would be the cold cut trio generation.
Right. I think that's trademarked. We probably can't say that, but whatever.
Yeah.
To your point, man, that's funny. But the real sandwich generation is generally those baby boomers that are responsible for not only taking care of their kids because they're not off the dole yet, perhaps they moved back home or whatever, and they're also having to take care of their parents simultaneously, and perhaps not even for just healthcare concerns, but often financially as well. So obviously as people age and continue to live longer, which we just talked about, that exacerbates the financial strain on the family, especially for those people, you know, that have fewer financial resources to offset that cost when they're taking care of their kids and their parents at the same time. So remember what we talked about. Fewer and fewer people have pensions. People are living longer, and there aren't as many reliable financial assets to lean on. And then we have a fourth issue, which is higher healthcare costs. So I'm just going to ask a rhetorical question because you can't answer on the radio, right? At least not without a call-in. And Walter, I don't want you to answer, so here goes.
Okay.
Does anyone think that healthcare costs are going to go down between now and when you retire? I think probably the answer is no. Mm-hmm. I would say 99.9% of the people would yell at the radio and say no, or yell at this computer or the podcast and yell no.
The rhetorical answer to your rhetorical question is no.
Fair enough. So let's move on beyond the rhetorical and say unequivocally, yeah, chances are pretty good they're going to keep going up. So most people would agree with that. And according to a study from the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services, the cost of healthcare as a percent of GDP, which is just, you know, one way to look at it, has gone up from 5% in 1960 to about 15% in 2013 when that study was conducted. And now remember, that was even before Obamacare really got rolling. So what does that mean to the individual? It means less money in retirement for fun lifestyle activities and more money for healthcare and wellness so you can actually live life and have fun. So this increase as a percentage is certainly a lot higher than what the government has reported in terms of inflation. So I certainly think that that could be a concern moving ahead in the future. So, you know, perhaps in this case, the glory days were something to look back on and be fond about. And then we have the Social Security problem. Walter, I would say, and you back me up on this, I would say that with the debt being close to $19 trillion, if not over it currently, And with Social Security being further and further taxed because, guess what, people are living longer, people don't have pensions to rely on, and people don't do a real good job historically of managing their 401ks. So all of a sudden, Social Security becomes the ultimate crutch, right? And with more of those issues coming to the forefront of being able to fund it and keep it sustained, that doesn't bode real well. But there is a silver lining to all this that I'm talking about. So just hang tight, if you will. So let's talk about ratios. Social Security. The ratio for contributors to recipients of Social Security went from 5.1 payees or employees to one recipient in 1960. So the ratio of people who are contributing went from 5.1 to 1 in 1960. And this was a stark contrast from the 40s when the ratio was 41 workers to one recipient. Okay, so big difference there. And then in 1990, that ratio went from 3.4 workers to every one Social Security recipient. And in 2010, that ratio went to 2.9 workers to every one recipient. The problem with this ongoing deterioration of the ratio is that once it reaches 1 to 1, the program in its current state or structure becomes really financially unsustainable. And of course, all of those things that we've already talked about around longevity and healthcare issues and pensions and all that stuff only exacerbate this further in the strain on Social Security because people are really going to need it. And of course, to give credit to where stats are due, these stats are courtesy from the Social Security Administration study conducted in May of 2012. So now, more doom and gloom, right? So there is a way around it. And before I go to that, I just want to say that we're going to talk a little bit later about something called, I think you refer to it, Walter, as lazy money.
Yeah. The feature of our next podcast. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So given that, let's talk a little bit about low interest rates. So the other challenge that we're having for retirees is that interest rates from banks and CDs have been less than 2% since around 2008. So to make math interesting, let's use an example. So it takes about $1.1 million in some sort of retirement account to pay $5,000 a month for 30 years after retirement at 6% rate of return. So again, to make $1,000,001 last 30 years paying $5,000 a month, you need 6% annual rate of return. It's pretty interesting, right? And if CDs and other safe money instruments are paying 2%, that's a problem because you're not going to keep up with our regular annual, if you will, inflation rate of about 2%. It varies a little, but it's in that range. So now we have, you know, a real problem. If you can't consistently get a good return on your money in a safe way, the pace of inflation is running about 2%, and all these other things are going on around us in terms of preparing for retirement, it sounds pretty bleak. So the good news is, for those of us who live near the railroads around here, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And I do want to reflect a little bit on the positive things about the future. So let's say, for instance, with every story about change, there is bad news. But if you work hard enough and you do all the right things and you plan accordingly, you can have some pretty tremendous outcomes. Look at where the University of Arkansas has come from since 1982. Look at where Bentonville has come from since the 1980s. Just incredible growth, incredible prosperity, incredible support from the community. And it took a lot of planning and a lot of hard work to achieve that. And that's really all I'm suggesting for those of you who are listening to the doom and gloom, you know, days of glory story I just provided. You can do the same thing. And with proper planning, the right people to help you along the way, to help you make good decisions about your retirement planning, you can have a really positive outcome. And those glory days will not be the glory days of the past, but the glory days of the future. My suggestion to you is, whether you call us or you call another financial advisor whom you trust, get some help. Start planning. Start preparing for things that are going to be different in the future that we can already see on the horizon as major or significant change. and be ready for those things. And then you don't have to worry about them because you've planned and prepared. And I know everybody that's listening to this podcast or this radio show, whatever the case may be, I would just say to you that your parents taught you this. Prepare, prepare, prepare. And try to live life as frugally as possible and still enjoy life. And it's a very, very finely tuned balance, but it can be done. And my recommendation is to you, if you haven't figured it out for yourself, find somebody who can help you figure out that equation. And if it's us, be more than happy to help you. And as always, our consultations are free of charge to help you get started. So I hope you call us.
Yep. And again, that number is 479-876-2100. Always the place to touch base if you want to come in for a visit and a conversation. It's a really nice example here on the podcast today of the kind of guidance and conversation and really the kind of detail that you go into with a financial plan. Looking at the glory days and how times have changed in the retirement planning world tells us a lot about how to properly plan these days. Sometimes you want to do the opposite of what we used to do maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago. And in some cases, the principles still carry a lot of weight. And you have to make sure you analyze those things appropriately. And the team at Mach 1 can help you do that. Again, 479-876-2100, your number to call if you ever have questions about your financial situation, and you can have a complimentary review with the team. 479-876-2100 or always online at mach-1financial.com. Thanks for joining us for this week's Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast.
Investment advisory services are offered through Coppell Advisory Solutions, LLC, doing business as Fusion Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration is not an endorsement of the firm by the commission and does not mean that the advisor has attained a specific level of skill or ability.